is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. GM, how are you today?
I am outstanding.
Good. We have a loaded show today. Tons of combine, tons of Titans, tons of football. But I want to start on last night's hockey game. Preds win 3-2. I wish I could show the people on the radio probably what my feelings for the game looked like last night. It's kind of like a the stock market of late, right? Like up, down, up, down, up. You know, like that's going into last night's game. We said on this show, I was, you know, my tickets are in the all-inclusive zone last night, and I was in the all-inclusive zone last night, and, you know, somebody said to me, "Hey, Jared," and I, you know, "Hey, what's up?" Said, you know, introduced me to his kids or whatever and said, tell them how bad you think Ottawa is. Oh, they're terrible. I mean, I was like, they are awful, which we said on this show yesterday, how bad the Ottawa Senators were going into that game. So imagine how I felt when it was 1-0 Ottawa. Now, Thomas Chabot is a good player. Like, he's legit. So I know, you know, don't want to take it away from him. But it's 1-0 Ottawa, and I'm thinking, oh, no. No, not tonight. Not tonight. Don't do it to me tonight. Don't do it. And they rebounded after a tough first period, played much better in the second period, held on in the third period. They beat Ottawa 3-2. So I want to start with this. Our thoughts from the game yesterday and my takeaway, which is I think we just have to live with this team playing up and down to its competition. That's just what they're going to do. When they play a good team, they're going to play them tough, and they may win. When they play a bad team, they're going to play them tough, and maybe they're going to win. I mean, that's just what they are right now. It feels like they play, doesn't matter how good or how bad the opponent is, it feels like they play right with them every game.
They have, I mean, you can't disagree with that, but that's better than where we were. I mean, I can't remember, you know, for it seems like forever we've griped about, well, how can you beat St. Louis and lose to Ottawa? How does that happen? Well, maybe we've gotten over that hurdle because recently, within the last, you know, 8-10 days or whatever it is, I mean, we've beaten St. Louis a couple of times, and in these last three games, we've won against teams or almost, you know, we've gotten points five out of six, I guess, points from teams that maybe aren't as good. So, you know, as long as you can beat the bad teams and then find a way to break even or come out on top versus some of those top teams, then you're probably in good shape. So, you know, I keep thinking, okay, now there's 20 games left. 20 games left. You're in the run now. And you know what? You look at what you've done over the last, like I said, 5 games, let's say, and you got to go, okay, we'll take that. You know, we're all right. So,
I mean, David wasn't lying the other day when he said that they were 8-4-1 in their last 13, that they're now 9-4-1. In their last 14, and outside of all the numbers you can get into, I mean, you can make your case whether this team is really, really good secretly based on numbers, or you can make the case that this team is really, really bad based upon the numbers. The truth is the one thing you can't argue with is the fact that they're 9-4-1 in their last 14 games. And I will say this, you know, like a week ago, I probably would have been bothered by this win last night. To be completely frank with you, the way that they played. I mean, Roman Josi, for all the things he does well, he had a horrible game last night. Almost gave the game away. You're on the power play, and Josi loses handle of the puck, and Thomas Chabot gets a breakaway and can go down there and score and give Ottawa the lead. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, now Saros made a stop on it. But those are the plays that get you beat. The second goal, Josi standing right there, day late, dollar short, puck into the net. Like he had a bad game yesterday, took a bad penalty, and that really bothers me. But at the same time, they won the game.
That's it, and that's all that
matters. They won the game.
They got the points.
Yep.
And they did some things, you know, that we haven't been able to do or you know, have talked about, it seems like, for the last year and a half. You know, they were able to get some scores on the power play. You know, special teams were better.
Arvidsson, a big boy or one of the big boys had a goal.
Yeah, and so... you know, there are things you can look at it and gripe about until you come to the absolute most important numbers, you know, are we getting points over the last X number of games? And we are. So we're trending in the right direction. So you got to be excited about that.
So if you really had to boil it down in your head as to whether or not this was a good team or that you felt good about this team, would you say yes?
That I feel good about the team?
Uh-huh.
The way they're headed right now?
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to say yeah. I think you feel good. I mean, you look at, like I said, the last, what is it now, 14 games or something, you know, in a row, and you're
9-4-1.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can argue with that.
And so, I will agree with the crybaby caller who called us a couple days ago and said there was a game at Edmonton where a bad call really did hurt them. And I'm not going to say it cost them the game, but it did hurt them. And so you correct that. Now all of a sudden it's 10-3-1. And I'm not completely going there, but the team has been competitive in these games. They're not really getting blown out. They got blown out, I think, last Tuesday against Carolina, which was a bad 4-1 loss. But other than that, even when they lose, it's the overtime to Chicago. It's down to the wire against Edmonton. So they'll have their blowouts in there, but it's not consistent where it's like 5-1 constantly, 5-1, 4-1, something like that. They are playing hard. Even when they don't play well, they're playing hard across all four lines. I still look at the roster that's out there, and I think to myself, how is Matt Duchene skating on the fourth line?
Yeah.
You know, that's got to change. They've got to figure that out, how they can get the optimum performance from the guys that they pay the most amount of money to. Again, Arvidsson had a goal last night, which was good, but there's a lot of things to not like about last night's game, and yet they got the points, and they're in a playoff spot. You have to look at that and say, hey, they're in a playoff spot for the first time since November. They've won 9-4-1 in their last 14 games. They're trending in the right direction. They've beaten some good teams. They've picked off some good teams along the way. Like, it could be a lot worse, I guess, is the other way to look at it.
I mean, if you it's like we said before, you know, if you beat St. Louis those two games and then turn around and lose these last three, I mean, what's St. Louis mean? It doesn't mean anything. At least now you can look at St. Louis and you can say, hey, you know what? We found a way to beat these teams that we should beat, but we also beat the world champs, you know? So where does that leave you? I don't know. You know, you got to feel better about yourself than you did before.
So the thing that Adam Thinkin and everybody else keeps bringing up, too, is about how wide open the Western Conference is, which is certainly a very valid point. I don't trust anybody in the Pacific Division. I mean, last year the Central just ran through the Pacific. I want to say, like, Colorado took out the number one seed. Somebody else, I think, took out their number two seed obviously makes it because two plays three from the same division. And then they got taken out in the second round, and then it was, you know, an all-Western conference or an all-Central division West. No, I think maybe San Jose or someone got through there. I'm not sure. But I don't trust the Pacific Division. I don't trust anybody over there. I don't trust Vancouver. I don't trust Calgary. I don't trust Edmonton. I don't trust anybody out there in the Pacific.
Don't trust them that they'll get very far?
Correct.
Okay.
Then if you put them in there with Colorado, I don't think any one of those teams beats Colorado.
Could be.
I don't think any one of those teams beats Dallas. I do not trust that. That's why I'm really looking forward to Saturday's game against Colorado, because I think Colorado's legit. And I was at the game with my friend last night, and he was talking about how wide open the West was, which it is wide open. And I said, I was thinking in my head, who do I think right now is going to win the Western Conference? You know, which team? St. Louis is trending in the wrong direction, so forget about them. Dallas is good, but I'm not sold on their goaltending, not sold on, you know, I feel like Dallas is always a team that is good enough to get you to the Western Conference final, but is never going to be good enough to get you past that. And that's where I come in Colorado. If you had to say Jared Stillman's big board of teams in the Western Conference right now to represent the West in the Stanley Cup final, I would put Colorado number one on the list. You play Colorado Saturday night. Are we sure the Preds couldn't beat Colorado in a playoff series? Now, we haven't seen Colorado in a while, so it's not like we've been watching a ton of Colorado Avalanche hockey around here. But that goes back to the theory that a lot of fans kept throwing out, which was just get in, and then the West is going to be a wild playoff fight regardless of what happens, which is probably true. and go from there. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. So as much as I can nitpick things I didn't like about last night's game, especially in the first period, they did find a way to win. So they found a way to win against a bad team. Just like 2 weeks ago, they found ways to win against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what they're doing. That's who they are. That's what this is. And so as much as I kind of want to complain about the fact that they didn't blow out a bum Ottawa team last night, I can't do it because this team just keeps winning games.
Got the 2 points.
And I am not going to sit here and complain about a team that wins games. Yeah. We cannot sit here, and we didn't do it for the Titans. When the Titans were barely beating the Chargers or barely beating Tampa Bay, or, you know, people forget the Indianapolis game where the final score looks like they smoked them. That was a tie game with 5 minutes to go, and Adam Vinatieri was kicking a game-leading field goal, and the Titans blocked it, returned it for a touchdown. Then Tannehill hits Khalif Raymond for the bomb, and all of a sudden you blow out Indianapolis. That game was right to the wire against a mundane Indianapolis team. So we didn't do it for the Titans. We didn't take, you know, look at their wins against bad teams and say, well, you know, they beat the Chargers by 1 yard because Melvin Gordon fumbled the ball. We didn't do that. And they ended up in the AFC title game.
And
so
it's, when
maybe
it's all
that's
said and
what
done,
we're looking at now.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, I mean, you don't remember, you know, you don't remember how they won the Colts game. All that matters is they got the W. And they were 9-7. Who'd they beat? You would go through and list Indy. So that's all that matters. Let's go.
I mean, ready, break. Again, last night's game. I don't know how you felt watching last night's game. I do wonder how the fans felt watching last night's game. I wonder how you felt watching last night's game. I mean, I felt awful at times watching last night's game. Then I felt pretty good. Then I felt kind of bad. Then I felt pretty good. Then they won the game, and I thought to myself, oh, thank God.
Yeah, the third period for me, all I kept thinking was, God, don't tie this up. Don't tie it. Do not get the third one. And, you know, as you got down to the end, you're saying, hey, I feel pretty good now. Then I was okay. But that was the biggest fear for me. You know, somehow you tied this up and you had to go into overtime or something. I didn't want to do that. But the rest of it, I mean, you end up with the 2 points. That's all I care about.
Okay, we almost never take calls in the first segment. And so I really don't want to do this now because I don't like taking calls in the first segment. But I'm going to. Your thoughts on the Preds game last night, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And your text, 615-737-1025. So the caller who called in the other day, who I did just label as kind of a crybaby, and they were 8-4-1, and he said it, has called back in, and I'm going to give him the floor for calling back in. Go ahead. Oh, my God, I hit the wrong button. Call us back. I hit the wrong button. I got excited to hit the button.
You know what? I
was excited to hit it.
That's why we practice these things. You don't practice it. You don't work at it. You get it wrong. Here we are, pressure situation. You got to get the right button.
I hit the button.
And you hit
the wrong button. Call us back. 615-7. And I actually cut off two callers by doing that. I mean, this is what happened, right? So the each line has a different button. And so when I went to press the button for this caller, I ended up hitting the second button and the third button because I was so excited to get to that call that I knocked two callers off the air.
Excuses are like, everybody's got
all right.
One.
We'll get to those next. I apologize to the caller.
Call
I'm
back.
Sorry about that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number and the text line. 615-737-1025. Plus John Hines explains what the difference has been for the Predators as they've won 9 of their last 14. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Pass right side deflected by Anisimov. Still picked up Johansson. Johansson went to Arvidsson. Now it comes back to Ellis again. And now the one-timer by Yarncroft. And on the rebound, they get it in the net. Predators tally on the power play to take a 3-2 lead.
That was good. We managed to pull it out. It was a little bit ugly, but they fought to the end. So we managed to stay in the game and finished it.
Put Arvidsson on the board. Yes! Arvidsson. I will say this. Arvidsson had a big goal against St. Louis a couple weeks ago, or, you know, when they went to St. Louis and won. Arvidsson had a big goal last night. It was a dirty goal. It was a grimy goal. Of all the forwards they need to get going, he's the one I trust the most to actually get going, because his game is predicated on playing hard, which is what he does.
And you don't, or at least I never question him playing hard. You know, he goes out there, and when he's, especially if he's completely healthy, I mean, he's going to give you everything he's got. It's just a matter of, does he get an opportunity here or there? If he does, then he'll figure it out. It's like the goal he got last night. I mean, like you said, it wasn't pretty. You know, it was kind of grindy and greasy and right there, and man, found a way. Kick it in.
I am convinced, though, Arvidsson's not 100% healthy. That whatever it is that Bortuzzo did to him in St. Louis, that is a little bit of an issue. Okay, so I felt bad in the last segment. I said we had a crybaby caller call in and talk about at the trade deadline how they were 8-4-1. They won last night. They're 9-4-1. And now I'm harping on that. And he called in and I accidentally cut him off. So I appreciate you calling back and then calling back again after I cut you off. So please go ahead.
No problem at all, Jared. My point a couple of days ago, and you weren't quite picking up on it, but my point was you were focusing on the negative. You were focusing on how bad they looked in Vancouver and not how good they looked on the first three stops of that trip. You're focusing on how underwhelming, according to your standards, they looked in some of these wins when it didn't really matter. They got the W's. You know, you don't hear LSU football fans worrying about, we gave up 35 points to Vanderbilt, or we almost lost to Auburn at home. They got the W's. They made the playoffs. They won it all. So it doesn't really matter. That was my point.
And that is a point that I think last night's game, thank you for your call, that is a point that I feel like last night's game starting, like last night was a realization point for me that is, it doesn't matter how good or how bad the team that they're playing is, they've got a shot to win and they've got a shot to lose.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they really can lose to the bad teams and they can win against the good teams.
And I think we got to a point, you know, I don't know, if may have been a couple years ago where, you know, you're always expecting this team because we have such high expectations. You know, you're saying, okay, we got to go out and play like this is the second round of the playoffs. Well, we have found, and we've talked about this recently, you know, the regular season is not always that. And that, you know, I think you have to get to a point where you're saying, hey, if you can find a way to win these games along the way, it doesn't matter what the, you know, as long as you make the playoffs, it doesn't matter what the final is. It's all the same. Now we start all over. And I think that's the thing you miss. And when you get to a point where you're winning as much, we've said, you know, we got to get a point where we can really hit a streak here. Well, we got a chance to hit a streak now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a chance to put a bunch together.
Oh, yeah, at home and against, like, in important games, like Calgary is 2 points ahead of you in the standings for that first wild card. Colorado, I think right now Colorado is my personal favorite to represent the West in the Stanley Cup final. I really believe, like, I like Colorado's got a nice team. In large part, you helped them get a nice team, but they have a nice team. And so if you can win these two games on Thursday and Saturday, I mean, you are cooking, baby. So there's a lot to like about what they're doing. And there's a lot to I think, kind of be a little concerned about with these teams, Ottawa and an injured Columbus team and a bad Blackhawks team, to say, well, you know, I mean, it really is a glass half full or half empty scenario they're in. I want to get to what John Hines said last night after the game. He was asked about the fact that the Predators have won 9 of their last 14. This is what John Hines said he's seen during that stretch.
John, in this team winning 9 of the past 14 games, in which areas have you seen the biggest strides?
Well, I think they've been, I think just the ability to stick with it and go through different things. You know, I think even you look at tonight, wasn't necessarily the best start for us. I think Ottawa came out, played hard, and wound up getting a lead, but were able to respond. And I think really figuring out as games continue to go on that there's certain things we have to do better. The guys are responsive to it, and it seems as though when things go well, we stay with it. But also the responses when things don't go well have been more, I'd say, more consistent and more focused on what needs to get done the right way.
So basically, Hines is saying that when things go poorly for this team, they don't just turtle in and let everything just get to them. And like the Winter Classic in Dallas where they had a 2-0 lead and then Dallas scored bang, 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 and you lose.
Yeah.
Like that he's – and I will agree with that. I mean, that first period last night was wretched. And they got out there in the second period, and they corrected it for the rest of the game. Texter says into the text line, last night was hard to watch, but also showed how this team has changed under John Hines. The opening goal from Ottawa would have made for a definite loss under Laviolette, so this shows progress. Do you buy into that a little bit?
I don't. Maybe. You know, I don't know. We were always and Peter was famous for always breaking it down into periods. You know, I always felt like he was, every game was three separate games to him. You know, we played this way in the first game and this way in the second one and this way in the third one. And so, you know, if I think back to that, I would think, yeah, we didn't start the first period good, but came out the second, were much better, and then hung in there in the third. So, you know, how does that break down? It's good enough to get the W, and that's all that matters. Get those points.
Texter into the text line talks about Matt Duchene and asks about his situation perhaps on the fourth line. Says, if Duchene is on the fourth line, then shouldn't he be dominating that line? Because if he is a number one guy playing on the fourth line, he should be dominating, but he's not. Your thoughts? I think one of the toughest parts for Matt Duchene, and this is, I haven't asked Matt Duchene about this. I haven't asked anybody with the team about this, is he's constantly playing with new play. He's trying to get adjusted to playing on a new team, and he's got big shoes to fill because of the expectations, and yet he sees his ice time dropping and his line mates changing constantly. I just don't know how a guy like that gets in a rhythm with so much changing around
him. I mean, and that's part of it, I think. You know, you think about his last, you know, 4 months, 5 months, or whatever it is. You know, you sign here, you end here, you want to be here. You start in through the season, and then there's a coach change. And then after the coach change, now you got a new system, and you're trying to adjust to it. And, I mean, his life has gone through a bunch of adjustments in the last 4 or 5 months, and I'm sure he's probably still trying to catch up a little bit.
I mean, I'm worried about Matt Duchene, but I'm not – I think that they've got to put Matt Duchene in a better situation to succeed. But the question is if you do that, then are you hurting your team's chance to succeed in the short term where they have to win these games if they're going to make the playoffs or if they're going to do anything in the playoffs? But I do think Matt Duchene needs to be put into a situation where he can succeed. I am worried about how those two things right now seem mutually exclusive.
And I think, you know, I'm going to imagine that if he is not responding to the system or to the desires of, you know, whoever's in charge here, that he needs to adjust a little bit too. You know, it's going to take, it's kind of a compromise thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he needs to realize that any way that he can adjust and still play well, still play his game, I mean, he probably needs to go ahead and do, and the same thing with coach. You know, anything that you can adjust to him a little bit, because I don't, and Steve Watterson, our strength coach, used to always tell them, I always used to laugh, because he would bring in all the rookies and get them all sitting down, and they would all be there, and he'd say, okay, let's start by this. He goes, the NFL is not socialism. Not everything in the NFL is equal. If you're a number one draft choice, you're going to get more opportunity than the guy that's just signed as a free agent for the first time. Mm-hmm. That is the NFL. And all I'm telling you is it doesn't eliminate you from being a player and being a star, but you have to understand you have to work that much harder to get there. And we can get you there and all that. But I always used to laugh because those guys would get, you know, their jaws would drop and they're kind of like, you mean I'm not going to get a fair shot? No, you'll get a fair shot, but you're not going to get all the opportunities that the first-round guy or that the veteran guy or the free agent we just paid $10 million a year, he's going to get some more opportunities than you are. So when your opportunities come along, you need to make the most of them.
Although Hines, I think, has kind of walked in and said, my approach is going to be the opposite. The John Hines approach is, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how much we have invested in you. I don't care what the back of your baseball card says. I don't. You know, the Hines is, if you're playing well, you're out there.
Well, his thing is not.
I'm not sure that works long term in the NHL.
Yeah, his
but
expectation
that's what
is not what you make or not. His expectation is working hard. Mm-hmm. Or that's what it sounds like. You know, hard work. So that's his. You know, the guys that are going to work the hardest in this room will get the most opportunity. Those guys that work the least will get the least opportunity. And I think that's his difference maker, you know, whatever it is. And every coach has it. You know, every coach has something that he's going to live and die with.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Predators did win, and they are in the playoffs for the first time since November 13th. So that's a big deal. But coming up next on Jared and the GM, we have a pull up on my Twitter at Jared Stillman. And this is more about what the people think than it is what Floyd thinks. Because the question is about Tom Brady and whether or not John Robinson may have hinted if the Titans are interested in pursuing Tom Brady. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, ESPN 1025 The Game, more streaming on the Game Nashville app.
So there are a lot of rumors that a certain 42-year-old quarterback might be interested, or there might be. What do you make of those rumors that are out there?
Yeah, I mean, players that are under contract that aren't on our team, like, I can't comment on those guys. I won't comment on those guys. But, you know, we're just working through the process here at the Combine. And, you know, whenever that time opens up where we can, you know, negotiate with other players, regardless of what position they are, whenever that window opens up, we'll attack that just like 31 other teams attack it.
The robot that is known as John Robinson, when asked about Tom Brady, can't talk about other players not on our roster right now. Won't talk about players on our roster. In fact, John Robinson won't talk about players who are on their roster, except for apparently Derrick Henry. So there's no player John will talk about on someone else's roster,
which is smart.
And there's really no player on his roster he'll tell you about, other than something that you already know, like, John, what do you think of Kenny Vaccaro? Oh, Kenny Vaccaro did a good job for us this year. Thanks, John. That John Robinson does not say things like that. But his commitment to Derrick Henry yesterday and lack of commitment to Ryan Tannehill made me just consider the idea that maybe the Titans are interested in Tom Brady. Now, I'm still a little confused as to how this would all work out if the Titans were interested in Brady, but I put a poll up on Twitter, at Jared Stillman. You can go and vote in it right now. And the question is, do you think the Titans are interested in Tom Brady? Before I get to the results of this poll, I will tell you that the two answers, number one is yes. Can you guess what the second answer is?
No.
Not completely. It is yes, no, comma, Floyd is right. So you have to pick yes or no, Floyd is right.
There'll be a bunch of people who check less just as yes because they don't want to say Floyd is right. So, I mean, you need to eliminate that.
Apparently, you don't understand Twitter works. That's how it works for me. That's not how it works for you.
Yeah.
But first, I want to say let's go around the room. Do we think the Titans, not do you think the Titans are going to sign Brady, not do you think the Titans are going to go after Brady, not do you? Do you think that internally that Robinson and Vrabel are interested in Tom Brady? That they're at least intrigued by the idea of if Brady's going to leave New England, they're going to make a move in order to try to get Tom Brady on their team. That it's been kicked around and that they've legitimately thought about it.
Well, I'm sure they've kicked it around. I mean, you kick it around with every single person in the league. If you're talking about quarterbacks, you would kick around every quarterback in the league. You know, do they think it's going to happen? No, I don't think they do think it's going to happen. And I think they think like I do. And I've never talked to them about this, but I think they think when it's all said and done, he'll be back in New England.
Ian, do you think the Titans are at least interested in Tom Brady?
I believe they have kicked it around as well and have at least discussed the possibility of him being a free agent.
So this is going to sound crazy. I don't think they're interested in Tom Brady. But yesterday, the way they talked about Tannehill made it, I mean, definitely wavered me a little bit with how non-committal they both were on Tannehill. Now, the results of the poll are as close to a poll as I think I've seen. 51% think the Titans are interested in Tom Brady. 49% think they're not. That, I mean, that is essentially 50-50.
Yeah.
That think the Titans are interested in Brady or that think the Titans don't have any interest in Brady. Ian went with yes. I'm actually thinking no. I still think deep down inside they're committed to Tannehill for at least next year, which made me think this. Did Robinson and Vrabel play it perfectly yesterday if 50% of the people think they're interested in Tom Brady and 50% of the people think they're not interested in Tom Brady? Then don't we have to say Robinson and Vrabel played it perfectly? Because the number one thing you don't want people to do is to come out of these media sessions with some semblance of an idea of what you're going to do unless you want people to know what you're going to do. Like, I think John Robinson said what he said about Derrick Henry because he wants everybody to know he plans to re-sign Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I don't see... John Robinson does not stand up, now this is my opinion, in front of a microphone and talk to a room full of strangers and tell them anything.
Although he did with Derek yesterday.
He doesn't tell them anything. He doesn't tell them yes, no, a lot of in-betweens, a lot of possiblys, a lot of looking, a lot of maybes, a lot of... But nobody's going to just stand up there and say, hey, yeah, we're signing Derek as soon as free agency opens or as soon as they send the contract back or as soon as whatever the case may be. I mean, you just don't throw your business out there that way.
Except he kind of did with Henry yesterday. I mean, the Henry thing was pretty committed.
It's you know what? It's just like anything else. It depends on how you want to look at it. And if you look at it with your, if you're Derrick Henry and you look at it glass half full, you can make it out to be whatever you want. If you don't like Derrick and you want glass half empty, you can say, hey, didn't say they were going to sign him. You know, they like him. Sure. I like him too, but I don't want him. I want to draft somebody.
How could you take what he said about Derrick Henry yesterday if you don't like Derrick Henry and feel good about what he said? I mean, he basically said that they're bringing Henry back.
He doesn't say, yes, we are going to bring him back.
He said everything short of that.
Well, it's short of that. He's not saying that. And so you're saying, okay, maybe there is a chance. Maybe they're, you know, going to sign Jack instead of Derek. And maybe they're going to sign Logan instead of Derek, whatever the case may be.
There's no way you could get that from what he said yesterday. There's no way. No way you could get that from what he said yesterday. What he said about Henry, Ian, I'm sorry, I had you pull something else up. I want you to get what he said about Henry. There's no way, no way that you could think, oh, they may sign Conklin over Henry after what he said yesterday about Henry.
Derek had a great year for us. I mean, he led the league in rushing. He built off the second half of the 2018 season that he had. He cares about his teammates. He works hard. He's great in the community. And we're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around.
I mean, subtext, Is there anything there
that we don't already know? He led the league in rushing. Yes, we know that. He was a good for us. Yes, we know that. He's a good teammate. Yes, we know that. He's good in the community. We also know that. And we're going to try to sign him. Well, really? Okay.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. That is what we learned yesterday that we didn't know. John Robinson went
on the record. You didn't know that they were going to try to sign Derrick Henry?
We didn't know it from him.
You didn't know.
He had never said that before. So we did not know that. John Robinson went on the record yesterday, said we're going to try to do what we can to keep him. He didn't say that about Tannehill yesterday, did he?
To me, he did.
No.
It said exactly the same thing with both of those.
Ian, did he say it yesterday?
Not exactly the same.
Yes, thank you.
Not the same words. Not verbatim. Not the same words.
He made it sound like we'll see with Tannehill. He said with Henry, we're going to sign him. So you can say what you want. The truth is that John Robinson yesterday convinced the world that he is going to re-sign Derrick Henry, that he loves Derrick Henry, that Derrick's his guy. He also would not do that for Tannehill. But the fact that the people are 50-50 on whether or not the Titans actually have interest in Brady – I think, is exactly how J-Rob and Vrabel want it. They want there to be total ambiguity as to what the Titans are going to do. That's what made his Derrick Henry comment so shocking and striking to me, is that J-Rob never says anything like that that is almost as concrete as what he said yesterday. So to me, I think that I think Robinson's playing this for some reason. Robinson wants there to be intrigue on that quarterback position. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's leverage for Tannehill. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe he said more about Henry than he wanted to say. Maybe it's a message to Tannehill. Maybe they're not interested in bringing Tannehill back. So you show a lack of interest now so that, you know, when push comes to shove, people will say, well, hey, didn't you get that inclination from Robinson when Robinson said that at the combine?
Okay.
I mean, you're the one who took – I mean, David Poyle got asked on a Thursday if he was going to fire Peter LaViolette or was interested in firing Peter LaViolette. He said no. Everybody took it as no except for you, who heard that and thought, uh-oh.
He didn't say no. You don't listen.
He said he wasn't considering it at that
listener.
Time.
Awful listener.
You make this about
Isn't your mother a lawyer?
She was.
Well, I mean, if one thing you learn in law is you've got to listen, you've got to understand every word. Understand what they – you can't just blow it up.
I love my mom with all my heart. I'm not sure she completely grasped that part from law school. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Better watch out before I get in trouble.
I mean, it's and he said, no, not at this time. No, not at this time. Don't know about the next time or the last time, but not this time.
But you're the only one that picked up on that that happened.
It's the only thing that mattered.
And that was, and you picked up on that. And I do wonder if there's some sort of subtext to what Robinson has said about Tannehill. And that's, I bet you yesterday that it wasn't 50-50. Right now, the Twitter poll says, are they interested in Brady? 50-50. 51 yes, 49 no, Floyd is right. So I find that to be a little interesting. Just a little interesting. We'll get back to your call. 615-737-1025 and your text, 615-737-1025. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is going to join us coming up next. We will ask Chris what he thinks of J-Rob's comments yesterday. We'll also ask him about the draft and what he thinks about some of that. And, of course, what does he think about the Brady chatter? Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, again, John Robinson yesterday. I'm sure you've heard the clips enough, but for those who haven't, John Robinson asked about Derrick Henry yesterday, gave Derrick Henry a ringing endorsement. This is what he said.
Derek had a great year for us. I mean, he led the league in rushing. He built off the second half of the 2018 season that he had. He cares about his teammates. He works hard. He's great in the community. And we're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around.
Then asked about Ryan Tannehill. Not as much love.
We'll see how it goes. You know, he's under contract here for the next few weeks. And he did a great job for us, and you know, we'll start those talks and see kind of where those go, just like all the other players.
Not as strong as Derrick Henry. Chris Sanders joins us, former Titans receiver. Chris, what do you make of what John Robinson said yesterday about Henry and Tannehill?
He said the same thing. He said both guys did a great job for us. I mean, I think sometimes we read into it because, you know, when he talks about Henry, he was more enthusiastic, but then he talks about Tannehill, and it seems like he wasn't enthusiastic. I just think that we can't really read into it. I mean, he's definitely going to try to bring both of those guys back, but we can't really read into what he's saying.
What makes you think they're definitely going to try to bring Tannehill back? Because he did say in the clip about Henry that they're going to try to bring him back. He did not say that necessarily about Tannehill. What makes you think they're for sure going to bring Tannehill back? And what makes you think that they're not at least thinking about Tom Brady?
You know, I mean, look at what Tannehill did this year. I mean, last year, the Tennessee Titans were trying to find a quarterback. They thought it was Mariota. We thought he was going to be the franchise guy, and then you find Tannehill. Why would you go and mess that up? I mean, I know Brady's a great player. I know he won 6 Super Bowls. I know he's a GOAT. But who's the best quarterback now? The best quarterback now, in my opinion, and I may be wrong, but I think that Tannehill's the best quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the situation in Denver when you had Tim Tebow taking, the Denver Broncos to the next round of the playoffs. But then after they lose the next round, they're looking to pay Manning because it's more appealing. And I just think of the same situation. But I just think that, you know, the Tennessee Titans should stick with Tannehill, not Brady.
Chris, your thoughts on the receiver group at the combine, huh?
Man,
I got some guys that be running close to your times.
Man, I ain't that fast, Floyd. You gotta slow down. but you know what? There's some great receivers. You got Jerry Jeudy from Alabama. You got CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. You got Henry Ruggs, who I really want to see run the 40-yard dash. I don't know if he's running from Alabama. Then you got Justin Jefferson from LSU. They are loaded. And it just shows you that even if you don't get a wide receiver in the first or second round, there's a lot of receivers that are going to drop, especially another guy from Ohio State, KJ Hill. I mean, there's so many wide receivers that are fast, and I think the Tennessee Titans can jump on them on the third or fourth round.
Did you work out at the combine?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Hey, I'm Chris Sanders. Nice to meet you.
What?
how
was your experience there? Did you? Was it a nightmare?
It was pretty good. I went in with an edge. A lot of guys were nervous and a lot of guys were tense. I was upset because, the whole season they were like, well, he'll maybe get drafted, he might not get drafted. So I just went in there and prepared myself, and I just had an edge. And there was a guy, what was that receiver from Colorado? Westbrook.
Westbrook was
in my group. And the first time he saw me, he started laughing at me because, I walk on my toes.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to kick your butt in every drill. That's that's what made me, go out there and do well. I tested pretty good. I ran an okay 40. I think I ran 4.45, at the combine. But it was a great experience. I mean, just looking at all the coaches and all the drills and, just being a part of something that a lot of past players went through.
Chris Sanders is our guest. Chris, what do you think people miss at the combine when they see these guys do these drills, or they throw these mock drafts up there, and you see guys in the top 10, and the Titans, for example, are going to have no shot at a guy like Chase Young or Tua or any of those kind of guys, or Jerry Jeudy or so on and so forth, and yet Hall of Famers can come out of the second round, third round, Pro Bowlers, all pros. What do you think gets overlooked by guys who end up having good careers in the NFL?
You know, a lot of times we evaluate guys by if they run a 4.3 and a 40 or, do their three-cone drill and run a 3.78. But I think you really have to evaluate, are they good football players? I mean, and I think that's so important. And when you find those gems, like we found with Tom Brady in the sixth round from Michigan, who everybody said that he can't be a quarterback, when you do your homework and you find a guy like that and you find those gems that's a pure football player, I mean, if you look at his three-cone drill, he had the slowest there. I mean, he looked out of shape. He didn't really look that good, but there was Belichick and that staff that said, man, there's something different about this guy. There's something that he can bring to this team. It's something that we'd like. So I just think that these guys or these scouts have to really do their homework and say, you know what, I understand this guy may run a 4.3, this guy may run a jump of 42-inch vertical, but is he a pure football player? And I just think that the Tennessee Titans have to find football players because that's what Mike Vrabel and Jay Robb are looking for, guys that can not just do one thing. I don't want a guy that can just play defensive back. I want a guy that can play defensive back, play the nickel, but also do special teams. So just looking for those versatile players in those late rounds.
After going through it, Chris, which drill for you, if you were going there to find a wide receiver, had to pick him off one drill, what would that be?
It would be the route running. You know, Floyd, we can kind of talk about it. We can talk about a guy like last year, like DK Metcalf. You know, everybody was blown away by his 40-yard dash, a big physical specimen like that that, you know, ran a 4.3 electric, but then all of a sudden you get into the cutting drills and you get into the routes, and his routes are bad. So if I'm evaluating and I'm a scout, I understand that a guy can run 4.3. I understand that he can have a 42-inch vertical, but I want to see how he gets at his routes. I want to see how he bursts at the top of the route. I want to see how fluid he is and how he catches the ball. Is the ball beating him up, or he catches it with confidence? That's the thing that I'm looking for. I mean, everybody can look at a guy and say, oh, he's 4.3. He's the best wide receiver in the world. But if you can't create separation, they're going to find out quick. They're going to stop you real quick when you get in the lead.
Chris Sanders is our guest. Chris, what do you think the Titans, for the four free agents, Conklin, Tannehill, Henry, Logan Ryan, which ones do you think come back? Which ones do you think are gone? And do you think the CBA will get done before the Titans can or cannot tag two people?
I think the two guys that are gone, and I hate to say this, is I think Logan's gone. And I think Conklin's gone. I think, you know, Conklin's going to hit the market because, you know, if you look at in the league, the demand for tackles are so huge. So somebody's going to offer him a whole bunch of money, and I think those two are going to be gone. And I think with Henry and Tannehill, I think one of those guys are going to get tagged, and they're not going to be happy. And for me, this is what I would do. I would tag Tannehill, and I would get a deal done with Henry and kind of handle it in that situation.
Surprising. Thanks, Logan Ryan's gone. First person I've heard say it, but I don't disagree. I think Logan is going to be a hot name out there once free agency opens.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's going to be gone. I mean, I think Philly's looking at him. So, you know, when you have a smart guy like that that doesn't have the top-end speed but can come in and kind of, you know, make some plays for you, I think he's a hot commodity.
And I think, too, he's, you know, I keep hoping that he will look at it and say, you know, I love it here.
Right.
I love the city, the taxes are good, you know, all of that. So instead of demanding whatever he thinks he's, you know, really wants to demand, he says, you know, I'll play for maybe a little bit less.
Right. And I would do that. Just imagine, okay, say you offer me $5 million and Philly offered me $6 million. I'm not going to leave for $1 million because I got to pack up and leave and find schools and find a house. That just takes away from you being a football player. So if the deal is right and it's, you know, it's not breaking the bacon, it's good for both sides, I just think that if I'm Logan, I would stay there. But I think, and I may be wrong, you still got to get a defensive back with top-end speed. I'm not saying Logan is not a great player, but when you're facing guys in the AFC South like Hopkins and Fuller and guys like that have that track speed, then now it's like, okay, can we keep this guy and not keep this guy because he doesn't have that top-end speed?
Chris Sanders, as always. Chris, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you,
thanks,
guys.
Chris.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We'll see you. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. I would say this about the Logan thing. Where I do agree with Chris that Logan may not return is somebody offers Logan like $3 or $4 million more per year for 3 years than you're willing to offer Logan. Like, let's say you're willing to offer Logan 11 or something like that, which is a little discount probably than what Logan's worth, and then somebody stupid out there offers Logan 14 or 15 over 3 years. Logan's got to take that's $3 million more per year. I mean, that's $9 million more.
You can't compete with that.
When you look at taxes and schools and there's nothing you can do.
There ain't enough differences.
And I just feel like the name of Logan Ryan and his pedigree of being a winner everywhere he's been, he's won in New England, he won a little bit here, that will make one of these teams that has all this cap space. And we talked about this today before the show. All the stupid teams all sit together every year, overpay for free agents, and then around this time go release the free agents who 2 years ago or a year ago they shouldn't have signed
for.
Or they paid way too much money for. And this, I think, would be no different from that. But I can't blame Logan if he gets knocked off his socks. Those are one of those deals where his agent calls John Robinson and says, hey, the Jets are offering 14.5. And then John Robinson has to say, hey, tell Logan we said thanks for everything he did for us because he was a great player. But even John understands that. I mean, and there's a big difference in taxes and things like that. But ultimately, you know, $3 million is $3 million. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Buck Rising has an interesting take on Derrick Henry, and he has a wrong take on Derrick Henry. And I want to get to both of those next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.